You're listening to the City Gospel Movement's podcast, where we celebrate and accelerate collaborative gospel work in cities around the world.
We believe God is already at work in your city. We're here to help you ask, what is God doing where I live, and how can I join in?
If you love your city, love the church, and believe God can do amazing things in your city, you're in the right place.
Let's get started.
Without prayer, we are nothing. I feel like every time I'm praying in the Spirit, I know that I'm connecting with God, and through God is only the fulfillment of all of these dreams that I'm seeing and talking about. And that is a witness for the world to see and to be challenged that, okay, if you want to achieve that, you got to be praying.
Well, I am so excited to introduce you all on the City Gospel Movement's podcast to my friend Bonnie Andrews today. We have the pleasure of speaking to Bonnie, who is a founder and chief dreamer of Live Jam. If you are thinking about finding a new job title, I think Bonnie has the one to beat, chief dreamer of Live Jam.
Come on.
Welcome, Bonnie.
Make some noise, people. What a privilege to be on the podcast and to hang out with my friend Lizzie. Fantastic. I adore the work that you guys do at the Palau, and had the privilege of doing another podcast with Kevin on my show. So this is now with Lizzie. So bring it on.
Bonnie is going to bring the heat every time. You know, Bonnie, we just had an amazing time last month in Dubai, of all places, where we to be with leaders from 42 different countries who are all under 40 and excited about talking about the church, engaging youth in cities. So after that, I was like, Bonnie, you need to get on the City Gospel Movement's podcast. We need a chat. And so we come to today.
Absolutely. What a joy it was to be in Dubai, man. It was incredible, especially the relationships that are coming out of it, and also co-dreaming and co-creating some of the stuff that's coming up in just to think about 2050. Man, that sounds like I'll be a lot older than where I am at this point. But just to dream about 2050, how we can envision a movement of people together, how we can speed up things, gospel movements, connectivity, relationships. Brilliant. Fantastic.
Yes, yes. So that was the Next Move gathering that was hosted by Lausanne and movement.org and some other partners to really talk about some of the topics we're going to be talking about today on the podcast. But before we jump into all these great topics, let me give a little bit of background to Bonnie, and then I'll pass it over to you to share your story, because that is why we're here today. Yeah. So Bonnie is the founder and chief dreamer of Live Jam, which has a vision to see transformation of urban youth through music and media in India and around the world. Bonnie lives in New Delhi, India, with his wife, Kalpana, and their two beautiful boys, Levi and Zach. He leads the urban youth movement Live Jam, which has impacted 1.4 million youth in the last 14 years with the gospel. His team's vision is to see 2.5 million youth encounter the gospel by 2030. Bonnie is a dreamer. You can tell he thinks big, he believes big, and I know about that through this conversation, you will be inspired. So, Bonnie, can you just give us a little bit of background? Who's Bonnie Andrews? How did he get to where he is today? Just share your story with us.
Absolutely. Lizzie, you know, born and raised up in a small little town in India called Trivandrum. Well, our state brags about St. Thomas visiting us 2,000 years ago. So we had it, you know, God had to send him down to convince our people. Now, so we brag about 2,000 years of Christianity. Come from a small little town, grew up in a business home. My dad was an alcoholic, you know, so grew up with the perils of that. And then soon enough, my mom was suspected of terminal cancer. A couple of our business Catholic friends who came through the renewal came home and prayed for my mom. And the next time she went for a checkup, they couldn't find any trace of cancer. God healed my mom. And that was a big wake-up call and an encounter. And I went out with my dad and my mom. My dad, you know, he was totally against all of this stuff. He hated pastors. So we went out, in fact, to pick up mom from one of these prayer meetings. You know that revival meetings never get over on time. So we were there and we're just getting started. So my dad said, hey, why don't you close your eyes? I closed my eyes and you wouldn't believe, man, there's electric power going through my body. I had a bright light shining. I had an encounter with the Lord that put me on fire. Till today, man, I feel every day the fire is burning brighter and passion is going up, you know. And so that's just started off that journey with me. I got saved, you know, I felt the power of the Holy Spirit upon my life. And, you know, my dad said, my kids, I mean, my wife could be faking it, but my son can't be faking it. So seeing my life change, he gave his life to the Lord. My brother gave his life to the Lord. Soon enough, you know, some of my friends, I started bringing them to church and they started giving their lives to the Lord. So that really rippled off a youth movement that started off in my hometown. And 2005, I had the privilege of, you know, being in YWAM in between and studying in New Zealand and getting a bit of a global exposure. But the Lord said, I want you to come back while I was in New Zealand, come back and start a movement that will work with the church. And when I say the church, I mean all the way from the charismatic and the full-blown Pentecostal. He was talking about the church. So I came back and the Lord birthed something called Live Jam. And I asked him, God, what do you want me to do? He said, you got a story to talk. You have a song to sing. I'm a singer-songwriter. So we started off with that from a town. We wanted to come up with a very spiritual name for our ministry. You know, finally landed up as Live Jam, which is an acronym of Jesus and me. And I know now why we have that cool brand name, because that's the name that's opening doors in all the mainstream places with getting some of these big multinational corporations to sponsor some of these big events that we're doing. It's a name. It doesn't sound Christian. So that started off in 2005. And, you know, it just went on from there. You know, the people, young people started to come to know Jesus. We were opening up these events where young people could experience Christ in a non-threatening way. They could bring in their friends. Hundreds of kids were getting saved. And then I started off a show, became a DJ on national radio. And then we started filling stadiums all across the country.
So where do you meet youth to share the gospel with them?
That's right. So, you know, after filling, well, what we do best basically is, you know, we want young people in churches who are partners with us to bring their unsaved non-Christian friends to come to our event. As you know, India is predominantly Hindu in their belief system, but they believe in some sort of God that gives us a great opportunity. So we create a non-threatening environment for Christian kids to come and bring the unsaved kids where they would hear the gospel, be entertained. And at some point, I was just talking about that flip, is when we felt that 85% of any of our events that we were doing was filled with Christian kids. Mm-hmm. So I felt the Lord say, go around the country and pray. And prayer is such a big aspect of our ministry. And I was, you know, the idea of prayer, like if America would go on war with another nation, the first thing that they would do is they would do airstrikes before they send their foot soldiers in, you know, infantry. Mm-hmm. And Ephesians 6 says, we don't fight against flesh and blood, but we fight against principalities and powers. And I see that many of the churches around, all the mission organizations, most of the time they forget to do the airstrikes of praying and clearing the atmosphere before they send their troops in. And more or less you see, you know, lack of fruit happening on the ground. The workers are, you know, disoriented. They're going through health challenges. They come back without much fruit on the ground. But when you go and pray, things happen. So we just took a bunch of people and prayed for 30 days all across the nation in 7 cities. And at the end of the prayer time, the Lord spoke to us that if you want to reach this generation, you got to go to where they are. And soon enough, in all of these cities that we went to, I believe wherever the sole of our feet shall tread, the Lord said, I will give it to you as an inheritance. And all of these 7 cities, bang, just opened up. All the cities, the churches that we partnered and we walked with, you know, opened up. And high schools started opening up. And the crazy part was that we were able to go to the high schools. We were using music, which young people love. We were using bands and artists to go and share music in the high schools. And you know, kids are excited because when's the last time they had a band walk into school? They get a bunk class for sure. They love to do that. And then when we share stories, and stories is something that will stick. And if I would tell you my story, I believe if you listen to me, I believe that you wouldn't forget. You will not forget my story. You know, so stories stick. And then we use social media funnels and campaigns to move these conversations from offline to online, and all that in partnering with the local church. We believe the local church is the hero. We believe, you know, that we are called to support and encourage and equip the local church to reach out to the millennials and Z kids. So in the last 14 years, we've touched 1.4 million young people right in front of us face to face and had some amazing conversations on social media platforms, and see some of these kids even actually walk up to be volunteers, head of volunteers, come on staff. I would say 80% of our staff, our kids who have, we have ministered to at some point, and they've walked on board on staff. So it's an amazing opportunity to serve these kids. So yeah, so we reach out to them. We have a vision to empower or to commission 10,000 urban missionaries every year from India and all the spheres of influence. So we do that through all of these creative ways, media, music, stories, social media, and all across the nation, over 50 cities in India at this point, and global, Middle East, South America, a little bit of Southeast Asia and Hong Kong, Singapore. God has been expanding the boundaries of our church. It's very exciting. Very excited to see what you're
doing. Yes, absolutely. And Bonnie, you really have had a passion for cities and for nations, not just, you know, small contexts or one local congregation, but you're constantly thinking bigger. And can you help us understand where that type of paradigm came from?
Yes. I mean, typically, Lizzie, I lived in a city. And on top of that, our ministry focus is really to reach the influencers. I believe that influence is top bottom. It is much more easier if we are focusing on the influencers and it trickles down quicker. So we focus on the 5% of the kids. A kid in New Delhi is probably gaining with a kid in Portland. You know, their fathers are watching the same movies. The mothers are watching MasterChef together. So it's a global... You know, the global population that we're reaching out to. So I understand the power of cities. I understand the power of influence and touching big cities. I mean, I was in a small little town, but we moved to New Delhi. The ministry, you know, just went up by 50x, you know, from two cities all the way to 50 cities. So I understand the power of it. And just the basic data of by 2050, 70% of the world is going to move into cities. So I'm a city fan. You know, I'm a city fan. I believe things move faster. If you read the Bible good enough, you know that Paul picked up some very influential cities to preach the gospel. So yeah, I'm a city fan here.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I know. And I think I recently saw a statistic that by 2030, India will have the most youth globally.
Right. 600 million under the age of 25. That's going to be super young. And we're going to be the youngest country in the world. So we have a huge responsibility in our hands to do that. And more so to American context, you know, we're the largest student sending body in the world at a 5% success rate on visas. So every 100 kids that apply for a visa, 5 get it, and they still are the largest sending to, you know, I was in Austin the other day, University of Texas, 50,000 students there. Out of that, a major chunk of the international body is actually coming in from India. Very exciting. Very exciting for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when you think about transforming cities and then you think about all of these youth in cities, what role do you think youth have in city transformation? How do you want to get them involved? How do you see them impacting the culture of the cities in which they live?
Well, you know, I just want to say that youth, people think they are the future. I believe they are the hope for today and the hope for tomorrow. And as you know, that they're hacking it and they're climbing up ladders way quicker than before. So it is such a need for us to reach youth as I mean, evangelism. But also apart from the fact that the church needs to, you know, engage with these leaders. I mean, I was hearing some shocking statistics about America on the side, like 1 million youth are going to leave churches for the next 35 years. So it's going to be 35 million youth leaving the churches in America. And I would say that the similar situation in India, because churches are growing older, leaders are getting older. So we need to bring that awareness that young people are going to be in the forefront of things. In the current elections in India right now, we have so many young leaders in the forefront of elections. So that gives a real-time stats about, you know, the nation is young and they want to look at the young people and they absolutely know they're the future. Yep.
Yes. Yeah. No, young people are not only rising in influence, but they're just in mass in cities going to be present. And so how do we engage them as a community? So
absolutely. And when you think about India, the first thing that comes to your mind is rural population, you know, villages. I understand that there's huge amount of people that are poor, they're in need of food, shelter, clothing, but seldom we forget the aspect of young people living in big cities because they are the ones who have the power to change things quicker than ever before. So I feel it's a huge burden in my heart always to reach young people in big cities.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I'm personally so passionate about, just allowing the experiences and that paradigm that you have, that cities matter, that the church can impact cities, and share that with the young generation, inspire them to recognize that the church really is a relevant, positive presence in the city with a message that can change everything. So
absolutely. Even in Portland, you can smell curry because there's so many Indians out there in Portland.
every time I talk to Bonnie, he's always wanting to bring up curry. I love it. I love it. Absolutely. Okay, well, Bonnie, you're traveling all over the place. I feel like when I check WhatsApp, I always see a new picture of Bonnie on a different, you know, in a different state in the U.S., in a different country. Can you help us understand what are some global trends you're noticing about the church? What's exciting you? What opportunities do you see? And then what are some things that you're maybe concerned about or just interested in seeing how things will go in the future?
Well, you know, one of the things that I see while I'm traveling is that pastors are telling me more and more that we don't really know how to engage the kids in the church. So that's been a big conversation. Every time I'm going, I'm graying a bit, but, you know, they still think that I'm in the cutting edge of youth ministry. So most of these coffee conversations or dinner conversations is about how can we engage the youth in our church to start off with before we engage the youth in our city. So what I see common trend, a thread around it, is that a massive wake-up call that the church is having, that we need to reach the millennials, we need to reach the Gen Z. If you don't reach them, then we're going to be, you know, a church without a youth ministry is a dead church. This is my version of it. I've seen it in front of my eyes, several churches just caving in because they went in the direction of tithes and offerings and the income streams, and they forget, because they understand youth ministry is a lot of work. You know, it's a lot of changing of diapers and so much hard work. But, you know, you're looking at one guy that, you know, many leaders gave up on, and they, some of them still pursued. And that is why I keep saying that I shut down my youth ministry 2 times in my church. And my brother shut it down for good after that. So, you know, but we're the ones that the Lord chooses to change the world upside down. Nobody knew that this is going to be the guy that's going to touch a million people 10 years later. You know, so, you know, I'm waking up the church all the time to say that, man, the youth are the future. You got to reach them and engaging and helping churches to engage with the youth all the time. So that's a common thread that I see. And they understand that if they don't engage them, the church is going down.
And if we enter into one of those conversations, say we're sitting, you know, across a table for dinner with you, and we're just, as pastors and leaders, saying, man, we're struggling. We don't really know how to engage the youth in our city, in our church. What are some of those best pieces of advice or principles that you just pass on to these leaders?
Number one thing, man, you got to risk. You got to take risks with these kids. You got to trust them. I know that you don't want your church to go down. And I imagine my pastor back in the day, you know, took several risks to invest into us. And that's exactly why I am here right now. And I would just tell the pastors, you got to trust the youth and you got to give them responsibility. And maybe they're going to fail. Maybe they're just going to do it much better than before. So the number one thing I would tell them is trust them. Second is let them create. Whatever they create is what they're going to own, you know. Most of the time, the pastors are telling them, you do this. And, you know, when they create their own event or initiative or something of that sort, they seem to be running with it far greater than something that's been passed on from generation. And more so in our Indian context, it's been several models that have been passed from the West. And sometimes it's not even connecting on the ground, but they just like, okay, this is what you have. So when you give the opportunity and the responsibility to just for them to co-create, and when they co-create, they co-own. And when they own it, they just run with it. These are the two big things I would say. Take risks with them and give them responsibilities. Let them start running with it. And soon enough, they will. I mean, you see fruit happening like crazy all across. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for listening to the City Gospel Movement's podcast. It's been so fun to hear people talk about how this podcast has impacted the way they're leading in their city. We know some of you listen to this podcast while running, on your commute, or even walking your dog. If you can, just take a few seconds and comment on whichever podcast platform you listen to. Rate the podcast and write a simple message. These comments make a huge difference in getting the message about City Gospel Movements out. Thanks for listening, and we're so glad you're a part of the conversation. Let's expand the conversation, not just to youth, but to all people, because I know you're passionate about youth, but you're passionate about the gospel. You're passionate about evangelism and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with everyone. And I think a lot of times we can buy into the lie that people really aren't interested in the gospel. In cities, they don't want to hear the gospel. Don't talk about Jesus. Don't mention his name. Don't tell me to go to church. But what are you seeing when it comes to trends in evangelism and sharing the gospel? Are you seeing people receptive? Are you seeing people as hesitant or maybe shut off toward the gospel as some people in cities may think or perceive people who aren't following Jesus yet to be?
Got it. I mean, one of the things I would just say that is newer churches are, you know, they're on fire. They want to grow. Okay, newer churches. And I've heard Tim Keller say that churches peak in 10 years. So when I see younger churches, they are on a race, they are passionate, they're full of zeal, they want to grow their church. And we know certain numbers, when they hit 100 or 150 or 500, there's stagnancy kicking into the church. So that's one thing that I see about evangelism. On the other side, evangelism is becoming like a long lost tribe. You know, one of my big statements that I make is, I want to make evangelism fashionable again.
Yes, you know? I love that. I love that line, Bonnie.
Evangelism fashionable again. You know why? Because, you know, church planting seems to be the flavor of the month. And you know that, from if you've been around for long, every now and then there are certain things that keep popping up. You know, it was HIV, AIDS, it was human trafficking. Now, a lot of these circles, everywhere that I go, I mean, it's not that it's bad, but in the process of planting a church, and you know what happens when you start planting a church, churches or pastors are called to be fathers of the flock. So they have to look after their flock. In the course of looking after their flock, they just start looking inward, you know. And my challenge to all the pastors that I meet is just to live it out. You know, I was on a Uber drive other day in New York City, and I asked the guy straightforward, "Do you know Jesus?" You know, and in the whole process, he said, "I want to follow Jesus right now while on the wheel." And he repeated the sinner's prayer while driving the car, you know. And another time the other day was that I was on a plane from New York to Dallas, and there was a guy sitting on my left and one on the right. And the whole conversation, we, you know, it was an early morning flight. Everybody wanted to sleep, but we became the loudest group on that whole plane. Last thing that I know, shared Christ with them, prayed with them, held hands with them before we, you know, got off the plane. And the next thing I know is 3 weeks later, man, this guy is from Dallas and the other girl's from somewhere else, and they hooked up. Now they're almost getting engaged.
No way.
Yeah, really. I mean, so the gospel is not only touching people, it's even putting people together as couples. So I'm excited about that.
But I do have to say, I mean, for those who are listening, these stories from Bonnie, I mean, he's talking about recent stories where he's met people on an Uber, on an airplane that he's prayed for, that he shared the gospel with. These are current stories. And one of my favorite talks that Shayla Visser, who actually leads Alpha Global, she says that it's not necessarily new principles people need to learn, but it's that if you want evangelism to move forward in a city, the leader has to embody it in themselves. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And so that's just reiterating what you said, Bonnie, but no, I love that. Let's make evangelism fashionable again.
About the gospel. You know, that's the biggest problem that people are, you know, they're just getting too cultural, too careful. But I would just say that, man, whatever the Bible says, just do it. You're going to see breakthroughs happening. You know, the methods got to change. I understand that. But the message is still live. The message is still touching people. So we got to preach it. We got to do everything in our capacity to get the word out. And you would see your churches, your organizations turn for the good. You know, and the second thing I would say, pray. If you don't have a culture of prayer in your organization, if you don't have a culture of prayer in your church, I'm telling you, we're going to take far too long to get to our destination to see those results. I've seen it too long that when you come and pray, and when you see those principles of prayer operate from the scriptures right down into a practical life, you're going to see acceleration, not deceleration, acceleration. The former rain and the latter rain are coming together. Joel chapter 2 and verse 23. So get ready.
Get ready. Get ready. Hey, well, Bonnie, in a previous conversation we had, you were talking about how since you were young, you've surrounded yourself with people who think big. And the leaders that we work with who work in cities, they think big. They believe that the United Church can really have an impact on their city. They want to think big, but they also need to hear stories of other people thinking big. So can you walk us through why it's important to surround yourself with people who think big, and then maybe tell us a story of somebody specific who impacted your life who was a big thinker, a big dreamer.
Sure, absolutely. I just want to tell you that, you know, the power of association is so much vital for any leader. And I would say that you're the sum total of the five people that you hang out with. So you got to be careful with who you're hanging out with. And I love the fact, a favorite quote of mine is from Socrates, who says, great minds think ideas, medium minds discuss events, and weak minds discuss people.
Whoa, slow that down. Let's say that again. Can you say that again? That was good.
Great minds think ideas, and medium minds discuss events, and weak minds discuss people. Man, if you're hanging out with people who are talking about other people, you're in bad company. You're in drained out mode. You're not progressing anything bigger, or you're not going to grow anywhere. And I want to tell you something, even events, you know, I just like the fact that when you hang out with people who talk vision, you leave the conversation on steroids. You feel like your life's on steroids. You're going to dream bigger and, you know, and learn from them. So I've been a big fan of pushing myself constantly to hang out with people of high caliber, somehow, some way, get a coffee conversation, coffee meeting. I'm quick to ask, can I have coffee with you next time? Can we have this again? Push myself out to that. I mean, you need to understand that you are responsible for your own growth. You know, nobody can be responsible. You're responsible for your own growth. If you want to grow, if you want to think big, you got to hang out with the right people. And one of the things that have happened when I was growing up is that somehow, I would just say that, you know, the Lord knew that all of these things are going to happen. So he led me into good company. So in fact, some of the people that I sat around, and we sat around in a carport and dreamed about filling stadiums around the world, you know, and 20 years later, 15 years later, we filled some of the big stadiums in the country. You know, I wish that we would talk some of bigger things back in the day with those kind of people, because whatever you speak is what's going to happen. You know, we have a voice-activated faith. So whatever you speak is what's going to happen. And death and life is in the power of the tongue. So when you're in company of people that talk big things, dream big things, man, you feel like your life is just taken up to the next level. So the power of associations. Let me just think about a story. Well, you know, the stories that I get stimulated is with when I sit with world leaders and learn about how they have done it. When I hear the story of Louis Palau, I mean, he's a story of an immigrant, you know, coming out of another country. Could he dream bigger? I mean, I would say that, you know, what am I doing as a small town guy, you know, thinking about certain things. When I think about Air Bernard, I mean, the other day we had the opportunity of being in Dubai with him. And lo and behold, those connections led up 2 weeks back to minister in his church of 40,000 members. And as we're dreaming about newer cities, you know, here you are, those conversations sitting on a table from having some Indian food together has led us all the way to New York City to be sitting on the same level with some of the dreamers and fastest growing churches in the world. So I would say that push yourself, get into good company. You know, I believe in the power of association. If you can check on YouTube, I've actually done a blog on the power of association, and just check about what are the stuff that is out there that can stimulate you, push yourself to the next level.
That's awesome. I love that. And I love how you really go in, you're not afraid to ask the question, hey, can we meet up? But you're always going in with that learning posture. Hey, teach me this. I want to honor you and your experience here, but I want to learn from you.
Absolutely. I felt like, man, have I asked too quick? You know, so quick. Because, you know, when you see these people in proximity, you're just drawn to them because they carry something. And when you say, I want you to speak into my life, what are you saying? You're saying that I really appreciate where you are right now, and I really want you to take me to where you are. That's what coaching is all about. That's what mentoring is all about. So when I see key people, I'm quick to ask them, when is the next time I can come? Even if it has to be getting on a nonstop for a couple, like a 16 to 18 hours to be in New York City to be mentored and sit around somebody else of high caliber, I would do that anytime because I understand the power of association that pushes you to the next level.
It's also so relational. Bonnie, you are a friend to so many people. It's not just for the connection, but it's really for the relationship. And I know even, you know, in Dubai, when we are kind of interacting with A.R. Bernard and just learning from his wisdom, it was so enriching. And for you to kind of take that next step and say, hey, can we connect? I want to learn from you. It led to, you know, you speak at the Christian Cultural Center. So what a blessing. That's awesome to hear.
Absolutely.
You also mentioned the importance of prayer, and I'd love to dive into this just for a little bit because I know this is a passion of yours. This is a conviction of yours. as you think about the big dreamers who think about strategy and impacting cities, how do you see people who dream big also living a consistent, steady life of prayer? How do you practice that on your own, and how do you see other people model that well?
I just want to say by, you know, starting off by saying that without prayer, we are nothing. You know, prayer is talking to God. You know, don't forget that you're talking to God. You know, all that vision and all that stuff, I'm constantly reminded that if it is not from God, it's going to be like Towers of Babel, that the Lord would look up from the sky and say that I don't even believe in this. This is detestable in my sight. You know, I don't want to be building up Towers of Babel at any point in my life. I want to be dreaming with him. So I feel like every time I'm praying in the spirit. I know that I'm connecting with God, and through God is only the fulfillment of all of these dreams that I'm seeing, I'm talking about. And that is a witness for the world to see and to be challenged that, okay, if you want to achieve that, you got to be praying. Okay. Number one. So prayer is really calling out to God. In the whole process of praying, we often forget to understand that when you're praying, God already knows what you're going to pray, right? But in the whole process of that, God seems to be whispering certain things to you. Are you paying attention to that? That's been the game changer for me. Every time I pray, I have some notes on my, you know, on a daily basis when I try to make some, what is God trying to speak to me? Like the other day, I was praying in the morning in my office, and I hear the Lord say 22nd and 14th. And I'm thinking of coming to New York City on the 28th. And I hear the Lord say 22nd and 14th. I have no idea what's going to happen. But I just quickly book my ticket. And then everything that happened, 10 minutes later, I get a message. And all of that happened every day for the last 2 weeks has been daily miracles. It's been like walking with God. So I feel you need to ask God. We need to speak to God. Number two, you need to hear what he's saying. Number three, I feel is prayer is a spiritual weapon. It's a spiritual weapon that God has given you. When Bible says in Ephesians, you don't fight against flesh and blood. We don't fight against people. We fight against principalities. You need to understand that there are principalities and forces of darkness that govern our cities. And if you want to see a breakthrough, it's not going to be with your strategy. I mean, I don't care too who's about strategy if it's not come from the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Because you and I can sit together and create strategies after strategies after strategies, which is not going to even take off. Because I believe a strategy has to be derived really from the presence of God, from heaven. So I want you guys and all the listeners out there to understand that prayer is a spiritual weapon. If you don't pray and when you don't speak under the principalities and forces of darkness, my friend, I've seen that happen. When I came into my city, people told me this is a dry city. This is one of the most unreached cities in the world, a city of 22 million. But let me tell you something. I came in with prayer. I came in with exercising spiritual warfare, praying into the city, doing prayer walks, prayer drives, doing all of that stuff. Man, our ministry has grown 50x after coming to the city. Okay? Coming to the city where people said, your church is not going to grow, your ministry is not going to grow. I've seen my ministry grow after coming into the city because we're going to tap into the fullness of a capital city, a city that has got control over the nation. You can tap into that when you tap in prayer. So I'm a big fan of prayer, praying in the spirit, pray while you're driving, pray while you're, I mean, whatever works, just do that. I mean, let this be part of your lifestyle so that people know that when you're sitting in a car, he's praying. I mean, I had a friend of mine tell me that, you know, this is Bonnie Andrews, this guy, I was on a train with him. In the night while he was sleeping, he was still praying. So that was a good introduction for me. Come on.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Sleeping and praying all the time. All the time.
I mean, we make mistakes. I'm just telling you all the, some of the keys that I'm throwing out there right now.
And those are gold. I love those. I love those three principles. So as we kind of close, I want to make sure that we can learn about this exciting new update from you, kind of why you are in New York City and kind of a new vision, bold vision for Live Jam. So kind of give us a peek into what's on the horizon for Live Jam.
Absolutely. Lizzie, I just want to say that, and for all the listeners out there, you know, I believe in big cities and I believe in being in the right place at the right time. And the big thought that God spoke to me the other day is that you got to move from houses to tents. That was a big revelation for me. I mean, we have a tendency to buy a house and pitch our tent too deep in the ground. I remember the former president of our board said, you know, a house before time becomes a burden. You know, and I want to say that when I look at the life of Abraham, he lived in tents. That means you can pack up and go wherever you need to go. So one of these days, you know, that last July, the Lord woke me up in the middle of the night and asked me to take my family on a quick trip to America. And my wife thought I was mad. You know, every time, that's why, you know, she says, I'm a madman, but I love this madman, you know. for all those people who are not married, my friend, your life partner is going to double up everything that you're doing. One will chase 1,000, two will chase 10,000. If you got the right one, my friend, everything is going to explode. And that includes Lizzie as well. Come on, Lizzie, get ready.
Yes, Bonnie's been an encouragement.
Absolutely. A couple of days later, it was no opportunity for me to go. I find termites in the house and we had to get out of the house. Finally, the contractor walks and we had to get out of the house. I knew it was a prompting from the Lord. And then we have the supernatural provision out of the blue come in for us to go. And within less than 24 hours, we're on a plane to Philadelphia, a great city. We are in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. 2 weeks and third week, I'm seeking God's face. God, why did you bring me here? And the Lord drops me this word, zip code number one. Now, zip code number one makes a lot of sense because we prayed for almost 6 years to have our ministry headquarters in India go to zip code number one. It's the most influential zip code in India. It controls the parliament, the Supreme Court. It's like Capitol Hill, you know. So we wanted our office to be in Capitol Hill so that we can speak and pray into the system. So we have great space right now, about 2,700 square feet of space in zip code number one in India and building number one. You know, you've got to be specific when you're praying. I mean, when God, you know, brings it out, he doubles it up. So zip code number one, building number one. But I heard the Lord say it is not zip code number one India, zip code number one America. My goodness, it was a big drop. Because, you know, I quickly Googled, I found out that 10001 is Midtown, New York City. And the Lord said, I'm calling you to Midtown, New York City. And this was a big wake-up call. I mean, you can imagine. I mean, I thought India and Delhi is where I'm going to live and die. And I could travel around the world, but this is home. And suddenly, it's a lot of changes. And I'm telling my wife, and she is not able to process all of that. And then I have a friend of mine coming in next day morning, a Mennonite bishop friend of mine, walks into our house and tells me the same thing. He said he was praying for us and he feels the Lord say, you guys are called to be in this part of the world for a season. So we drove down to New York City on the weekend and we, go to Hillsong Church. And lo and behold, Brian Houston is speaking and he talks about risk quotient. In the middle of the message, he stops and says, if God is calling you to Manhattan, I know it's the most expensive city in the world, but if God is speaking to you, make the move. Now I'm looking at my wife. She's like, whoa. And we were just talking about schools and all of the stuff that has, you know, that, you know, connected with New York City. And he makes the next statement. He says, if you're worried about your kids and their future, for the sake of the kids, make the move. And he talks about how he moved from New Zealand to Australia to plant Hillsong and how Carl moved from North Carolina. To cut the whole story short, I spoke to a friend of mine in New York City. And within 24 hours, he said, I feel my mandate. We heard the Lord and we feel our mandate is to get you here. So they're processing visa. The next day, I hear the Lord say, Brooklyn. And by the end of the day, I have a house that has been given to me to stay for free for year one in Brooklyn. And I have money coming in. And it's been a supernatural experience. So what I really feel that's going to happen with our move to New York City is that New York is the Rome of the world. And I believe it's going to be like a Jerusalem to Rome. And we felt that, hey, gospel has been coming to our nation from the West. And we feel we're going to be part of the generation that's going to take the gospel from our part of the world to the world, literally to the nations of the world. And what better city than New York City, which is Rome. 800 languages being spoken. Tim Keller says it's arguably the most influential city in the world. Doug Butchall says, you know, New York City is the lab of the world with so many immigrant people, so many people from different nations being there. So we're excited about this global explosion. And this year, the Lord also spoke to us that 2019 is going to be the year of explosion. So all of this coming together, it's coming in really quick. Looks like in the next 3 months, we're going to be in New York City. So it's going to be exciting to dream bigger dreams and not only impacting 50 cities, we're dreaming 500 cities around the world. Launching out of New York City. So we're excited about this move. And I would encourage all of you guys to pray for this. And you can check out more details about this on our website, transformcities.org. Transformcities.org, that's going to be a website. You can check it out. And that's going to have all the information with this new move that's coming up.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, we are so excited for you, Bonnie, and your whole family, Kalpana, Levi, Zach, and we will be praying for you. So, you know, you have told us to risk. You've shown that you are risking yourself, and you have an incredible passion for cities, an incredible passion for the gospel. As we just close, Bonnie, can you pray for the leaders who are listening as they work to unite the church in their city and work for city transformation?
I just want to tell all these guys that are listening to us, give it all you've got. If eternity is what we're walking up to, let's live every day living towards the outcome of eternity. Two things that really matter is souls and the Word of God. So let's collaborate both of that. Get the Word of God into the lives of people that you will have far more people to give high fives when you get to heaven.
Okay? Yes, yes.
Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for this podcast that is reaching people. And for all the people that are listening to us, this podcast, Lord, I just pray that, Lord, you would cause them to dream bigger. We speak Isaiah 54 over them. Spread out. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. You will go to the left and to the right. You will take over desolate cities. Lord, I speak enlargement over their minds and their hearts and their visions. And let supernatural provisions, supernatural acceleration, supernatural connections come their way right now as I pray with Lizzie. And I pray a blessing upon their families. I pray a blessing upon their conversation and the company and association of the people around them. Bring the right people into their life and pull the wrong ones out. Shut down the wrong doors and open the right doors. We pray that all in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Amen. Awesome, Bonnie. Thank you. Well, if we want to stay in touch with you, if people want to find you online, they can go to transformcities.org. Is that right?
That's going to be the broadest perspective, but our ministry is livejam.org. You can check us all out on our social media platforms, Livejam, and I'm Bonnie Andrews. So BONNYANDREWS. Check us out on all our social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, all of that. Yeah.
All the socials. Bonnie, thanks for joining us today. You've been such an encouragement.
My privilege, Lizzie. So you got some curry in New York City now. So anytime you come in New York City, you got curry smelling out of my apartment in New York.
I'm coming and I'm bringing friends. If you're listening to this podcast, you likely are a dreamer who wants to make things happen in your city. But the thing we know is you can't go alone. Have you heard of the City Gospel Movement's coaching program? This may be a great resource for you. If you have an idea you're wanting to brainstorm around with someone for an hour to get some new ideas, or maybe you're just getting started in the City Gospel Movement work and you want to touch base with someone who's experienced, check out citygospelmovements.org/coaching to find out more about our coaching program. You'll fill out a form and we'll connect you to a coach who would be a good fit for you. Again, that's citygospelmovements.org/coaching. We can't wait to support you and the work you're doing. Good ideas are worth spreading. Isn't that what they say on TED? Well, we're going to use it here for the City Gospel Movements podcast too. Take a screenshot of this episode and share it on your social media. Subscribe to the podcast so you're aware of the latest episodes. And share this episode with a friend who may relate to the topics that we talked about today. We can't share these ideas alone, so thanks for partnering with us.
Thank you for listening to the City Gospel Movement's podcast, where we celebrate and accelerate collaborative gospel work in cities around the world. For more resources, show notes, and to get connected to gospel movements around the globe, visit citygospelmovements.org. That's citygospelmovements.org. Keep believing in what God can do in your city.